लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। बिहाइंड द सीन्स, oh yes, exclusive insights, absolutely, eccentric characters, you bet. So pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals, and now let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, I'm technically going back to Australia, but not really, because he's in Canada, actually. And there is one theme I have to talk with him about, because, as I said a few episodes before, I'm craving for a pirate vertical, and he just did one. So I think there is a lot to talk about, and I'm very happy to have him. And I say hello to Nick Westaway. Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, Aussie in Vancouver. So nice.
How did that happen?
It was always on my radar. I think Vancouver was, because it's part of Commonwealth countries, it was very easy for me to get a visa to come here.
Okay.
So drama school, actually, I really wanted to check it out. Just took me a long time to eventually get here, including a one-year stop-off in London. But yeah, I can take you through that whole journey if you'd like me to.
So I know you were very famous in Australia because you did a sitcom?
More like a soap opera. So we like to call it a drama because soap operas are maybe a little bit more melodramatic than the show that I was on. It was called, Home and Away, or Home and Away. And it's been on Australian TV since 1988. So it's older than me. It's been on TV.
And still on the TV?
Still going, yeah. So it's been on
really?
37 years.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So it's a big sort of legacy show. A lot of people get their first start on it, or, you know, a long running contract. And so after my 3 years at drama school, that was like my first major role booking introduction. And I ended up shooting on that show for nearly 4 years. And that's exactly 386 episodes of that show.
And how did you get out of it? Did you die in the series? Did you leave because you were heartbroken and you had to go away? Or what was your ending in the story?
I went to prison.
Oh!
For love, okay? So, so I had a storyline where a love interest came to the mythical town that it's set in called Summer Bay. And I sort of fell in love with this woman, and she had two kids that she wanted to fight for custody and be a mother for. But her ex, the father of the kids, was trying to take them away. And she did something a bit shady to try and make some money to fight for the custody. And I said, don't do that. That's the wrong choice. I'll help you. And it kind of escalated to a point where someone was going to get arrested for doing something. I think it was robbing a place at gunpoint with some hostages. And I said, no, go be a mum to your kids. I will go down for this. And she's like, I can't let you do that.
Oh, yeah. It's like a vertical story, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, high drama stuff in that show. Very, very similar to verticals in many ways. Less slapping, I think, other things, but definitely car accidents, illnesses, kidnapping, love triangles.
All in. So you were good prepared for switching to verticals, huh?
Very, very.
If you're in prison in this series, you technically could have a comeback there, right?
Yes, technically indeed. My friend is actually a writer on that show now. So he's, if there's ever a chance we can bring your character back, we'll check it out. But at the moment, as you know, I'm happy in Canada and happy in the vertical space. But who knows? One day in the future, they have had returning characters. I could get out of prison, get parole, go back to the town with a couple of bullet wounds, I think my character has at this point in time, and rekindle things. Who knows? Who knows? But it's a long-running drama. It's been on TV a long time, and it definitely, as you said, prepared me for the drama that is included in Verticals very, very well. So.
So, what was the reason you wanna drop off the Australian show and you wanna try this vertical stuff? How did you get into verticals?
It wasn't like something I sort of chased. It was, as an actor, you take what comes your way a lot of the time, and you want to be in the right place at the right time. I've always heard that saying of like preparation meets opportunity. If an opportunity comes your way and you're not prepared for it, you'll miss it. And if you're prepared, but you never get that opportunity, that's where you're not getting that luck. You do need a bit of luck in this industry, let's be honest. So it's preparation and the opportunity coming together at the same time. And I guess when I came to Vancouver, I started auditioning. I found an agent. I did a bunch of weird things. I booked one Hallmark movie, so I did a little small role in a Hallmark movie, which is kind of cool. I did some voiceover work. I did some motion capture work in the video game space.
What is a motion capture work, please?
So for video games and animation, where they dress you in the suit and they put all the
Yes.
dots all over you, there's about 80, 70 something dots that they put on your shoulders, arms, legs, head, torso, everywhere. And then as you move, they capture your movement and then they animate you. So I did that for Amazon Games and they
You have
animated.
your own anime? How crazy is
Yeah.
that?
So that was some, as an actor, just my movement more than the other stuff. So I took whatever I could get, and I was auditioning for other big things, movies back in New Zealand, shows in Australia, some stuff in the UK, obviously Vancouver-based things, commercials, short films, TV shows. But as I said, I booked little bits and pieces, but not anything big and notable. So my first couple of years, I was sort of paying my way and feeding myself and paying rent as a production assistant on set. So I was behind the camera, as you say, and sort of being that helper on set. So I'd set up tents and I'd take out the garbage, or I'd do what's called a lockup, and I'd keep the area safe and steer pedestrians around the filming locations, and basically anything that needs doing in terms of the location itself, and sort of helping out in that regard. And that's what paid my bills, but it also allowed me to meet a lot of people, network a lot, see how professional productions are run in Vancouver, because it was slightly different to Australia in terms of assistant directors and what their responsibilities were. And all the protocols. So it was a big learning experience for me. But after 2 years, I had to renew my visa. And because I hadn't booked a lot of acting work, I sort of went back to Australia. I got my next 2 year visa, and I managed to get back to Canada with another 2 years. This was in 2022, start of 2022. Is that right? 20 is when it's no, 2022 is when I first got to Canada. Sorry. So 2024 is when I got back on my new visa. And I had a new mentality. I sort of went, okay, if you want to do this acting thing, you're doing PA work. I was also working in the fitness space because I was a qualified personal trainer. So I was doing a bit of that. But I really just said, do whatever comes your way. Do anything. Do student short films at the local university. Do low budget commercial if one can. Do any voiceover work, any more motion capture work. I was emailing everybody. I was looking at Backstage, the website. I was looking at Actors Access. I was looking at Facebook groups. And that is how I actually got into Verticals. I joined a group on Facebook that was posting ads about, like, hey, we're just making like a short film with some friends. And I was just like, hey, do you need something? So I was just looking at anything and contacting anybody. And there was an ad or a post that came up that said non-union acting work paid. And that's all I needed to see. I was like, sure. What am I doing? Where am I going? So I went to a kind of cattle call blanket audition for a bunch of people. There were at least three different vertical companies there because it was new in Vancouver. And so they all kind of got together, booked out a room, put a white backdrop, set up some cameras, and then just called a bunch of actors through for like the whole day. And then those companies were kind of fighting over us in a way. They're like, I want that one. I want her. I want him. I want them. I want them. Blah, 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 blah. And so I went to that audition, and apparently the lovely Grace from Budo Films here in Vancouver, she had like been waiting for me all day. She had like dibs. She's like, he's mine. Because she was doing her first vertical show in Vancouver, and my headshot, she liked my look. Okay. And so she was waiting all day for me, being like, I hope he's a good actor. Please be a good actor. So I went in the room. I had a scene that they gave me that I prepared on a sheet of paper, and they asked me to do a monologue. And so I went into that room. I did a very self-indulgent 9-minute monologue that I learned at drama school.
9 minutes.
I went, hey, I get to act today, so I'm going to do a whole bunch of acting. So I was a little bit greedy to do that, but there was a bunch of people watching me act, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do a big monologue that I like to do. And so I did that monologue, and apparently it went very well because they pulled me into a back room and had a chat with me before I left and said, we have two verticals coming up. Would you like to play the lead role of both the verticals, the male lead? So the first one...
lead roles.
Yeah. So those first verticals were straight off the back of that audition before I even left. So
did there was you know what verticals were at this time?
Nope. Okay. No idea. All I knew is that they said they're called verticals, vertical dramas, because we shoot them vertically. They're designed to go on a mobile phone. They're big in Asia, and we're starting to make them here. They're kind of low budget. They move fast. What do you think? And I said, yeah, well, I'm, you know, experienced from Australia. I can learn lines. They said, can you do an American accent? I said, well enough. I was rusty. It wasn't, you know, my best. It's a lot sharper now after 29 verticals in the last 18 months. But at the time I said, yes, I'm comfortable in the American accent. And we dove in. So that was
What was your first vertical? Do you know the name of that one?
Undercover Boss. Yeah. So it was a leading lady who was the president of a hotel chain going undercover to root out some very abusive employees in her employee. And they didn't believe that she's the president of the hotel when she revealed, oh, you're a lowly janitor, this, that. You can't
boss the classic her. One. No, yep. She's not. She's a fraud. No, she's maybe fraud. She is it. No, she's a fraud. And that discussion for how many episodes?
Yep. And she called me, Clark, the vice president of the hotel, and chat to me and be like, well, Clark, can you do this? Can you do that? Let's get these horrible people out of our company. And then there's the big reveal at the end where I come out and say, you guys are idiots. She's the president. And it all And the hero saves the day, and it was great. So that was my first one, yeah. And then I did my second one. The director of the second one really liked me, so pulled me onto one that he was doing, said, can you come with me? And so that was my third, is I followed a director to a different company. And then the first company went, hey, where did you go? Come back. And then it just hasn't stopped. So
like a snowball effect.
Exactly.
So you are not auditioning anymore because everyone wants you and they come to you and said, we have something for you to do.
It's a 50-50, to be honest. I still do self-tapes. I guess they're less, they feel less like auditions and they feel a bit more like chemistry reads because they know that they like me as an actor. Look, they like, you know, what I bring to a character. It's more they're checking if I'm the right puzzle piece.
Okay.
Yeah. So I self-tape not to be like can he act? They know that I'm a decent actor. They go, does he look right, sound right, have the right feel to be the right piece of the puzzle with this actress and with this story and with this character? So that's the way I view it now. It's not like I'm auditioning per se. It's they're testing my
chemistry
brand for them, because I want to be the right piece for the puzzle, right? Like, I want to be the right person for the job, for that project. I don't want to play a role, which has happened in a couple of verticals. I think I was like, am I the right person
for this? I can tell you, I watched a vertical 2 or 3 days ago where you saw exactly that the two leads didn't click.
Yeah.
And they were both playing their parts, but it was not, you know, how can I say it? There was no chemistry. And
right.
I had the feeling that the female one saw it as a simple job, which had to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed that she learned the line and she did it, but I would not say with total less emotions, but she was not, let's say, living her role. And so for the male one, it was totally hard to give the best, because and that ruined kind of the vertical. That this whole chemistry was not fitting.
Yeah.
On screen. Yeah. So I think they check on you if your chemistry is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just recently did one. Like, I might be kind of reuniting, hopefully, later this month with the same director and the same actress from that very first vertical from over a year and a half ago. So that'll be a fun little reunion of the male lead, female lead, and director. That little triangle will be back to work later this month, hopefully.
Oh, that's great.
We're all signed in and we're happy with the script, and it's we're good to go. So that's kind of exciting.
Where did you shoot your verticals? All in Canada, or where have you been for shooting verticals?
Mainly Canada. I've done a few in China now. But yeah, so far just in Canada. I'm looking to get a visa for America, because every other week I'm getting an invitation to either like an offer or an availability check, or self-tape request from an American company. And now with a lot of American people coming up and filming in Canada, I meet a lot of Americans, especially actresses, but also a director, or a lot of directors. One in particular reached out after we did a production and said, "Hey, mate, loved working with you." And I said, "I loved working with you as well. Your directing was great." And he's like, "Yeah, let me know if/when you get your American visa, because I can definitely get you booked. We'll get you down to America and we'll do some shows." And he's done over 20 verticals, so that would be amazing.
Okay.
But other, especially actresses that I work with, if I'm the male lead, obviously, generally I have a female lead that I work with. And if they come up from the States, I've had a few of them actually say, "Oh yeah, I'd love to talk to this company in America about you. Oh, they already know about you. They'd love to work with you." So there's a lot of interest, I guess, from the States. So I'd love to get work rights for America, get a visa in place so that I could go and do some shows down there. That'd be really cool. And obviously, being Australian, I would love to get back to Australia and do verticals back there. I've had some friends. My girlfriend has gone to Australia and done a vertical there. So if I get an invite to go back to Australia and, tack on a vacation before or after, that would be...
Why not?
The dream. So I would love that to happen at some point.
What about Europe? Shooting in Europe?
Definitely open to it.
Europe. English shootings accent. Had really a blast in 2025. Istanbul is growing immensely. They shot a lot in Istanbul.
I just got my first person reach out about Turkey. Put a message to me and asked me a whole bunch of questions. So definitely venturing out. And I lived in London for a year. So if I went back to the UK or to Europe, that would be cool too. definitely open.
You know, all the shows which were shot in Istanbul are so great in quality. Really, really, really. Mostly of them are drop, nearly all of them drop on top Drama Pops on this platform. And the quality of every vertical, the storyline is mostly kind of different to the total classic tropes. You know, they're always refreshing, bit different storylines. So the storylines is for the audience much more interesting. And the quality of the verticals produced in Istanbul is always so, so great. No vertical ever, which was produced in Istanbul, disappointed my review ladies, me, or anyone else. So if you have ever the chance to shoot in Istanbul, yeah, do it, please.
That's a glowing reputation for Istanbul. I have only heard amazing things as well, like from the acting perspective, like the actors that I talked to who have shot there have said wonderful experience, awesome show, well organized, you know, everyone on the team is lovely. And then the quality of product out the other side is amazing too. So yeah, I'm very excited that I got reached out to about Turkey. So I will have to reply and see if they're interested in considering me for a project, because that would be super exciting.
Yeah. I spoke also to directors who shot in Istanbul. I spoke to actors and actresses who shot in Istanbul. Everyone was totally, oh yes, hell yes, every time again.
Yeah.
So, and as I said, nearly all the shows dropped on Drama Pops, and there was never ever a bad one. Never ever. Even if in the storyline. It's totally crazy, but I love that. You know who you have to take with you to Istanbul then? Kirby. When I spoke with Kirby, she was totally upset that she wasn't invited to Istanbul this summer, and all of her friends had the possibility to shoot there. So maybe you should think about taking Kirby with you, because she was really disappointed. that she hadn't the chance to go to Istanbul.
Kirby's always kicking goals. I love Kirby. She's
and your chemistry on screen is really nice, by the way. I love that.
Oh,
I love
you.
The shows. No,
it's a great reunion to do the Mafia one after our president one, and I have a lot of time for Kirby. She's great and one of the queens of the verticals globally, I would say right now. She's amazing.
Kirby and I had $1 million idea while we were recording. She was never shooting in Europe and she wants to shoot there so badly. I told her, I will win the European lottery. It's round about 70 till 100 million euros. And then I will fund a 6-part criminal vertical series like Miss Marple and Sherlock Holmes. In 6 different European countries for shooting. Perfect. So in every country, a new criminal case, you know. And Kirby said then, yeah, but I want to go everywhere on holiday. So you have to plan 3 weeks at least per country to shoot. So it would be a 6-month shooting project in Europe. So maybe
8 days and then take 2 weeks vacation and shoot for another little vacation on the back end, and just like sounds like a good half a year or 9 months of work.
6 months. So, and at the end of the 6 months, 6 verticals, which the leads are always the same ones, but the rest totally open, and every country new criminal cases. So that was the idea.
That's so
it's
cool.
All about the money. Actually, so we will see. I said it at the beginning, you did, in my opinion, the first pirate vertical. Now, how did that worked out? And mostly important, what do you think till when we can see it?
I wish I had an answer to that last question, but I'll start from the beginning. Essentially, I was overseas And Stephen Camera, who I've worked with a bunch on a bunch of other verticals, he's comes and goes everywhere over here in Vancouver. He reached out to me and said, "Hi, my partner Julie has paid attention to some of Vertical Drama Love's posts and the fan base who are saying, you know, where is our pirate vertical? We've got werewolves, we've got mafia, we've got this, we've got that, we've got CEO billionaire, we've got heiress. Like, where's the pirate one?" And she was, her opinion was, "I'm sick of waiting. I'm going to just start making one and see what happens." And the people that she's involved with, her friends, Steve and her partner, like, they have a very good network here in Canada of the friends that they've made things with before. Series, some features that have gone onto Tubi and bits and pieces like that. So they know a bunch of different people from a bunch of different walks of film life and different departments. And they said, "We can do this. Let's do this." So she started writing a vertical show. She'd been involved in a lot of verticals already. So she knew the format and the, you know, episodic nature of them and mm-hmm. needing those miniature cliffhanger hooks. And so as she was writing the script, she knew how to sort of structure it in that way. It did present some negotiation, she said, in her mind of like, how much do I play by the rules and how many rules do I break mm-hmm. in terms of verticals? You know, how many slaps do we put in? And are we putting in people getting drugged or kidnapped or whatever? Like, can we just lean into this pirate trope and leave behind some of the stuff of verticals? Or how many boxes do we have to tick? Mm-hmm. But constructed a really amazing script. I love it. Everyone who worked on it loved it. And the hurdle, I guess, that we've had to face was, how do we get it shot? We don't have a distributor. We don't have a client. We don't really have a budget. So mm-hmm. we need to talk to some people that maybe have some money. And she ended up getting some people involved that did believe in the project. So our producer, David, and a few others, they're the ones that came together and put money behind the project and said, let's see where it goes. I think Stephen and Julie sort of put in as well. And we started off by making 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And that was like 3 days from memory, I think. And those 10 episodes was, everyone was sort of on low pay, no pay, honorariums. We just came in as a passion project and said, let's see how this shapes up. And then once we get the 10 episodes, we sort of edit it, we put it into a trailer, which is what we did.
I don't know how many people I sent this trailer one. I don't know how many people, but everyone loved it.
Thank you for doing that. Because yeah, the response we got was amazing. So we said, we have to make it. We have to keep going. At the time, we didn't have a full script. We only had the first third of the script. Julie had an idea of, you know, what she wanted it to be and where she wanted it to go. She came over to my house. I was working on one of my scripts that I'm slowly writing in the background. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote Beneath Crimson Sails. She plugged away at that. I plugged away at what I was doing. And then we started, chatting about like, yeah, we want to keep going with this. So obviously, how did I feel about continuing to play the role of Captain Rob? And I said, yep, we can make this work. But obviously, I was getting offers to other verticals. So that's when it became tricky, is that my little goatee facial hair, my long pirate-y kind of hair, it's like, we can't...
You have to shape it off because of all the CEO billionaire whatever you were doing?
Yeah. I had to start juggling, essentially. As I, okay, we shoot 2 days here over on Vancouver Island or Gabriola Island, which is two ferries away, and then Nick has to come back and shoot 7 days on this other vertical. And then I... negotiate with them being like, I can shave a little bit, but I need to leave some, throw it back, and then I can't touch my hair. We just have to neaten it up and make it look good, but I can't actually cut it shorter because I'm going to need to go back. And then we shot 3 more pirate days, and then I did some voiceover work on a podcast, a fantasy series podcast, which is just my voice. And then I did another vertical for another company. And then I did more pirate stuff. And then I did another vertical. And then we had pickup days of pirate stuff. So it was like, it was very
busy
stressful to make it all match. and we shot on Vancouver Island, and we jumped in the ocean, and we had freezing cold days because it was getting colder as it came into winter. And, you know, we had people come and go that I'm not available that day. I'm available that day. And we just, everyone was just believing in it. Just every day that we shot, we just went, how do we make it the best that we can? And that's when I stepped in at the back end and did some directing as well. I co-directed with Steven for a lot of the day that we had our big Crimson Cove day, which was a lot of extras where you see like the pirate haven of the story. And so we had, you know, there's people bare knuckle boxing in the background, which were some of our stunty friends who were also like product designing and fight choreography, like, you know, and then they appear in the show as well. And then we had people that were in other departments being extras at the same time and being background. One of our production coordinators was on the ground. Our producer, who was putting money behind it, was trapped in the background, like with his hand in like, I can't remember what you call those, like the gallows kind of things. Like everyone was just saying like, how do I do more? What can I do? What can I do to make this get this made and make it as amazing as we possibly can?
Yeah. As I always say, teamwork makes the dream work.
100%. And so what's really exciting is on the 30th of December, we got invited out to David's house, which we shot a lot in his basement.
A lot of things
shot in his little basement, which they, you know, did up the room to look at like different locations. And out the back of his house, we shot a lot of forest scenes, like the sword fight, a bunch of other stuff. So a very familiar location to all of us. We went out to that house, we sat down, and we watched a rough cut edit from start to finish of the whole vertical.
And how many episodes is it now?
Good question. I actually don't know. I think it's at least 50, I think.
Okay.
Give or take. It's like, it's a full length vertical. It's like an hour long.
Nice.
They want to tighten it up a little bit, and I thought that there might've been some clunky bits and scenes, you know, some sound that was missing or some, you know, they still need to color grade it, maybe some bits in the edit that felt a bit, you know, rough or whatever, but it was so smooth. It was so good. I was so impressed with everybody on the team. Hopefully
everyone was so proud to see.
Yeah, very, very proud of the thing that we've made. And now Julie is already in talks with, I won't say who, but a bunch of people, you know, big companies, indie companies, some apps that haven't even been launched yet are interested in, could we have it as our flagship show? So there's a lot of interest in it. You know, that's for Julie and Steve to chat about and to sort of make those kind of decisions. But, oh, my God, I'm excited to have people see it. Hopefully in the next month or so, I'm just throwing out a random number. It'll come down to distribution. It'll come down to those rough edits. But they're getting some color grading done. They're getting a composer to make sure the music is
hopefully great music. Like in the Pirates of the Caribbean, music is the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for this rough edit that we did, they actually took some music from Pirates of the Caribbean, from Lord of the Rings, from some other like very well-known things, and just laid it underneath as like a rough, you know, this is the kind of feel. Obviously, you'll have trouble with copywriting things or whatever, but handing it over now to a composer who now can listen to the idea behind each of the scenes and be like, oh, it's that kind of feel. It's that feeling and flavor. Yeah. Hopefully, I'm sure we'll get some amazing soundtracks into the next edit. Yeah.
Oh, yes. You know, the thing is, hopefully the post-production won't be so badly rushed, because we saw lately some verticals who were really destroyed by the post-production because of bad sounds, too loud music. Normally the storyline would be, I just talked with we did on Sunday the monthly recap with the ladies, and not only me, some of the others did not finish some verticals, mostly because of the post-production, because that was really shit. Sorry to say that so open and directly. But mostly there were shows when you saw the BTS stuff, I don't know, 2 months before, and you know exactly that this post-production was really rushed. Yep. And so we are always hoping for a great post-production, because as I said, the story can be great, the cast can be great, but the post-production is shit.
Yeah, then all that work that you put in, yeah, is, you know, just it detracts from it, you know. You gotta make the most of it. It's why I like film, because it does feel like a big team atmosphere as opposed to theater. You know, everybody has to be doing the right thing, because the post-production could be amazing if you flip it the other way. But yeah, if the story and the script is bad, or the acting is horrible, or the directing's bad and the lighting's horrendous, like then it's going to be a horrible vertical too. So it's like,
yeah,
everybody needs to get it right. And
it's as I say this often, a great cast cannot rescue a shit story. That's the most thing we see, that the storylines, especially when you're watching verticals, not new, you are not a newbie in watching verticals, you are watching that for, let's say, more than 1 year. You saw a lot of verticals and you saw a lot of difference. As I told you, Drama Pops drops every time a really great quality. So no one can tell me, yeah, it was because we had only 7 days for shooting and that was the reason and this blah. Drama Pops has this issues also, and they can put great quality. So for me, in my opinion, it's possible to be done in this time. It 100%. Depends on, as you said, how heartful and active everyone is working on that.
Yeah, and because you've watched so many verticals, like, can I ask, what do you think that the vertical space needs, or what do you want to see more of and less of in the vertical space? Because what I've been trying to do is get into directing. I've co-directed 2 verticals now,
mm-hmm.
and done some directing on Pirates, so that's 3 projects that I've done some directing in. And I'm writing some scripts at the moment, just slowly plugging away. I don't know if I'll ever sell them or shoot them or whatever, but
yeah,
for my
creativity,
they're fun to work on. And so I'm trying to learn from people who are very experienced.
Okay, I can tell you exactly what we want most to see, because that was my last question to my review ladies, what we are hoping for 2026 in verticals, and what we want to... No, I asked them 2 questions. One question was, if I would be a witch and could grant everyone a wish, what would it be? And which genre they want to see more on you in 2026? These were the 2 questions. And first thing we need so badly are credits in the verticals. That's the first thing, because if you're a reviewer, it's so shit to get all these informations. We don't even know, especially there are coming up lately a lot of new actors and actresses, and we don't know who they are. So credits, really important. Second thing, trigger warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Lately dropped a new vertical one with full nudity in it, without any trigger warning, nothing on it.
I didn't know it's they that vertical.
Totally hard. The next thing, Shika said, less banquet scenes. We are so full of banquet scenes stuff. You know, I don't know how many verticals there are which contains all this, as I said, discussion 1 hour about is it really him or her or not. That's all the storyline, and they're discussing that for 1 hour with a lot of slapping, yelling and stuff in a banquet scene. We don't need these banquet scenes anymore. They are totally worn out.
Happy about that too, because they're often, most all of the time, they are the hardest shoot day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so many people, so many backgrounds, so many lines, so many characters, so many camera angles, so much lighting. So, you know, art department to do the room up. Like, it's, yeah, so.
And we want to see, we don't need every time the billionaire stuff. We want to see more like the blue collar worker, you know, more people who we could identify with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the shit thing is, if it's always with the billionaire and stuff like that, they are throwing so much money in this auction stuff. This auction stuff is always the same. 20 billion, yeah, wait, I give you that money. No, we want to have a bit more down-to-earth stories.
Yeah.
I cannot say realistic, that's shit in a vertical, but you know what I mean? More stories we can identify with.
Yeah.
We don't need always this super billionaire CEO. And we as women are saying we want to see more self-confident, powerful woman in a vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Not always the weak woman who is devoted to the husband, or you who needed to get hooked up and pregnant so she can move in with the guy. And he pays for all of her life. You know what I mean? We need more the powerful woman. Or maybe if you have a husband and a wife, that they are equal in this partnership.
Mm.
Or more like a team. That they back up each other and stuff like that. And not always that the women are always the weak ones. That's totally shit. And if you ask me for genre, we definitely want to have more rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is two of my ladies said they love the fantasy stories. You know, werewolf and vampire stuff is nice, but this whole fantasy world has so much more, like elves, like type of Lord of the Rings storylines, more like this one. Other types of fantasy. There was one vertical with the mermaid in it, that it was only just one.
Mm.
Also, so like this type of fantasy. And a lot were craving for criminal, mysterious, so psychological thriller style.
Mm.
That one would be so nice.
Yeah.
And don't forget the comedy. We need more comedy. No, lately the verticals, if I look back to the first verticals I watched, there was not so many violence, raping, whatever in it. And this show worked as well. So I don't understand why all this violation is needed in such a bunch of episodes in every vertical.
Hmm.
I saw lately a vertical, it was the first one, and it was totally shocked. I didn't finish watching it because I turned it immediately off, where the child actor slapped an adult and was so harsh and rude all the episodes. No way. And no one was correcting him. You know, if you would have the storyline, okay, there is, I don't know, a royal brat who is kind of mean to a maid, for example, okay, but then there should be a parent part who discipline the kid and say, hey, listen, you cannot do that. But in this vertical, the child was harassing and slapping the person for 40 episodes and had the harshest and rudest dialogues in this whole vertical. And that's, for me, crossing a red line.
Mm-hmm.
Expecting in first way for a child actor to act such a stuff. And in the second part, to show this as normal for the audience. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I've been looking at recently in projects is, because I've said no to a few projects based on the messaging around it, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or the story. Because my golden rule for verticals while I've been doing them has always been make it make sense.
That's good.
My golden rule. when I work on them. And if they want a vertical that, like, you know, and that's why I've been able to co-direct a few verticals, because I've looked at the script and I said, I don't think the script makes sense. So I've given them some, like, some notes on it, and we've been able to adjust it or change it to, like, as I said, make it make sense. And so the ones that I've actually stepped away from or turned down, or at the very least been able to adjust, is those moments when, as you said, like, something happens, but then it's not reacted to correctly.
Yeah.
In my view, in like 2025 or now 2026, I think we're at a place where, like, things should be responded to in a way that we're telling the right story and sending the right message. It's like, there's one that I remember turning down because it was that sort of violent, you know, the sort of the domestic abuse theme in there, or possessiveness to the point of physical harm. And I remember one scene especially where, you know, kind of the best friend of the lead actress spoke up about it, and I was like, okay, so there's the start, because my character was supposed to you know, grab the lead actress's character by the arm, and then she kind of winces, and the best friend says, can you stop doing that, you're hurting her. And the character said, am I hurting you? And she said, no, it's fine. And then the scene continues, and then, you know, I leave or whatever, and then the next scene, her friend or whatever, like a different friend, is like, oh, so your husband's handsome, is he coming to the party later? Like, it's just, it was
nothing
normal
happened.
It's just like, it's just, like, that's just what happens. And I'm like, no, like, either take out the harm, or you need to address that in some way. It needs to be responded to. You know, there was a vertical I think I did where, like, it's sort of a hypothetical maybe, which happens in verticals, like slapping like a kid, which happens in verticals. If a kid gets slapped and everyone loses their mind and is like, how dare you do that? Like, you're never allowed to do that. Like, that's a response. That's high drama, this, that. And it, to a degree, makes sense. It's at least, like, something that I can evaluate. But if a kid gets slapped and then everyone's like, okay, so what do you want for lunch?
Totally understand, but that's exactly that one. As I said, in this vertical where a child slapped the adult, his dad was sitting right next to her at the table and was eating.
Yeah.
Without saying anything. And he was still in love with this woman who got slapped.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, really? If he would be minimum in love with this woman, he would discipline the daughter directly and said, hey, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
But no, he was sitting and he was eating, and that's it. And nothing happened.
So just, it needs an appropriate response, or some, that to at least make the story make sense. And even better would be to actually send the right message in the story, so that our engagement is actually, like, helping people that watch it, you know, kids and teenagers and even adults, as they watch it, to be like, oh yeah, no, that's, like, you know, don't, I'm just sick of sending the wrong message. And it's the scripts that I see that have a message that I'm like, that's backwards. Like, I feel like we've come further than that. We don't have to be prejudiced, violence. We don't have to be sexist. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. So if they exist and they make money and they do stuff, sure, but go for it. They're not the verticals that I choose really to involve myself in anymore. The one earlier last year that I asked them if I could change the script, because he was abusive through the whole script, and it was sort of like a memory loss one. And
memory loss ones trigger me absolutely hard.
And it was kind of this gaslight theme where he didn't believe her that she lost her memory, and eventually, and look, they set it up relatively nicely to have the nice ending. In my view, in my writer brain view, they actually had the setup for a beautiful ending, which was, he starts to believe her, he starts to do nice things, he starts to reflect on how horrible he's been to her and says, please give me another chance, I'll do better. I'll be a better husband. And then she says, no, I want a divorce. And he's like, okay, but one day I'll earn the right to like be your husband again and to put the ring back on your finger and blah, blah, blah. And there was this window of opportunity in my mind, which what I suggested they do is like, let me adjust it and let me make the ending this hopeful ending of like, yes, you've been horrible, but I can see that you're trying to change as a person, you're trying to do better, and maybe things can change. But what they ended up doing is having this ending where he lies to her, gaslights her, manipulates her, and she's like, and he's like, well, how else was I supposed to get another chance? And she's like, well, if you're that desperate, I guess I'll stay in the marriage. The end.
What?
And I'm like, that's such a fumble of a script to me. Like, that's such a bad message to send. Like, if she had said, you know what, that's the last straw. You're lying to me. You're manipulating me. You're trying to do all this stuff. What you haven't changed. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah.
I probably would have done it. I'll be like, cool, that's a message. And then he ends up being like, oh, well, you just lost her because you didn't change. You had the opportunity. That would have been a better message. But for her to stay at the end after him doing all the horrible things, I'm like, you didn't learn. And now she's staying. And that's like,
thing that women are always so weak.
Yeah.
I have the feeling in so many verticals, it is shown or it should be shown that women cannot survive with a man.
Yeah.
That they always need a man to stay alive. Because they can't take care of themselves. I hate that.
Yeah.
I really hate that. And as I said, these memory losses things triggers me always because I had memory losses. I had this so-called vertical urgent need a brain surgery. I had this stuff. And I was cheated while I had this stuff laying in. Classic vertical trope, but real life one. So for me, when then the situation is, like you said, that no one believes this person having a memory loss, that's for me total triggering.
Because... Yeah.
That's a reason for me to turn the vertical off, to be honest, because I cannot watch this shit. Sorry for that. That you have always to declare that it's really true, that it's really happening.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that shit anymore. Really.
Yeah.
When you, because my opinion is, if a person really loves you, the person trusts you whatever happened.
Mm.
And is not starting to questioning you if it's really true or maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, I find I see what the drama when it's, you know, someone lying about what happened or someone being manipulated in that way. And I see like when it's done well, I can see the drama because it creates that redemption story of, you know, the character coming back and regretting what they've done and realizing that they were in the wrong. And so, you know, it creates that journey. But often, as you say, it's done with no conviction. It's just that they just think that, oh, you have to prove it. Like, no. Like, the lies are so flimsy and they just don't actually take the person that they claim to love or that they're involved with at their word. And then the twists and turns of the story can come from other places. So either it needs to go one direction or the other. It needs to like actually have trust in the story with the person that you're, you know, as you say, in love with or whatever. And then the drama happens in other elements.
Yeah.
Or someone needs to be steered in the wrong direction with evidence.
Yeah.
With a character that can justify that story and justify why they're being led in the wrong direction. Because when it's just softly touched on, it just makes for a very crappy story.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing is, when I see verticals where just recently one came out, I love this one because she She had memory losses, but her husband backed her so up and visited with her at different points where they had great memories to try to get the memory losses, to get the memories back. And, you know, they worked as a team.
Uh-huh.
And he was backing him, he was backing her up. And so that was a really nice storyline to see, okay, they had a shitty situation and it's distantly in this partnership actually, because she didn't recognize first that he was the husband.
Mm.
And so they started this journey together to get back together or to get to know each other again.
Mm.
And this was really nice storyline. There was no violation, nothing needed. It was so nice to see, okay, they are fighting both for this partnership and they're fighting both back together to a real life or a normal life. That was so fine for a vertical storyline. No kidnapping needed, no raping, no beating up, nothing like that. And that was such a nice and, for me, entertaining storyline. You know, for me, it's kind of exhausting when I see in the first five episodes, let's say in the first five episodes, already 20 slaps. It's true. It's possible.
It becomes a drinking game, right?
Yes. You know, it's not that I say the slaps are overdue. No. As you said before, sometimes for the storyline, they make totally sense. Or if you are doing a mafia one, it makes totally sense to kidnap or to kill someone. Sorry, sounds stupid, but it is. So, but there are lately so many verticals where they are slapping without any reason.
Yeah. And as you say, like, as you're sort of pointing out, I feel the more slaps there are, the less poignant they are. Like, there needs to be a balance. Like, one slap in the whole story is like, well, it's kind of here or there. But if you're doing 100 slaps, it's like, what's the value of them?
Yeah.
They need to mean something. They need to, like, carry a bit of shock factor, right? At least a little. Because if it's just, they slap them, they slap them. Like, you become guys, and then, like, the slap means nothing. Which, if we go back to messaging, that's a bad message to send. Yeah. We'll just get a bunch of kids and teenagers watching vertical dramas growing up thinking they can just slap everybody. My coffee isn't right, and just slap the people in the cafe.
Yes.
No, like, this isn't. No, we shouldn't be doing it in real life. But, like,
it's exactly the same one. Sorry for that. Can't they use protection when they are sleeping together? It's not a problem. Oh, you're pregnant? Get rid of it. Get an abortion. That's also totally the wrong storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Storytelling stuff in the verticals that a lot of the projects that maybe that I've stepped away from or tried to alter, where it just feels like steps back in the progress of society, I guess.
Stuff
we've learned about already, stuff that we're trying to move forward in, you know, 2026. And then I see a storyline of a vertical or something like that. Like, this is just my opinion. I know people have different ones, but I refuse to do a fat transformation storyline in a vertical. Something that I feel really strongly about, you know, larger bodies, smaller bodies, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everyone's going through their own journey in this world. We know, I guess, like, I do believe that, you know, if you get a lot larger or a lot smaller, there will be health risks that you go through. And, you know, I've worried about friends and family in my time, you know, when I just want people to feel healthy. But the size of a person doesn't make them any more or less valuable as a person.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Oh, you're my hero today.
Really? I've always felt that way. These storylines in some verticals where the world is out to get them because they're slightly larger than the normal, you know, an average person. So everybody hates them and everything's hard and blah, blah, blah. And
they got bullied every time, stuff like that, yeah.
you know, they take a magical medicine or they witch a genie or whatever it is, and they come back, and then magically, you know, they've lost some weight, and then everything's fantastic.
Yeah.
Their job is better. Their love of their life comes back. Their friends treat them better. Their parents treat them better. That like they make more money. I'm like, I refuse. I refuse to do those verticals. I've been offered a couple, and I say no. I can't do it.
That's good. So you said you shot how many verticals now?
The one later this month will be number 30.
Okay, so 30. When you're looking back to the first one you did and then to the last one you did, what has changed in this shooting and vertical stuff since then?
It's a good question. It depends on which elements you're looking at, what has changed. The first thing that comes to mind is the organization of the filming. Mm-hmm. I say that, I mean that most of the time we have intimacy coordinators.
Yeah.
And we have fight coordinators, fight choreographers, stunt coordinators, like on set with us. In the early stages of verticals, we didn't have that. We were shooting intimacy scenes with, you know, the whole crew and a couple of friends watching. And we were, you know, choreographing our own fight scenes and being told, oh, let's just roll the cameras and just try something, and us having to say, no, like I'm not going to start throwing my fists around at people's faces. That's when something bad happens. So we would like, you know, figure out our own fight choreography to make it safe. So that has come a long way, changed a lot. With the success of verticals, and this is just my experience, I guess, in Vancouver, the pay rate obviously has gone up a lot. In the early stages, I think everyone was getting paid not very much. It was on the back of a film strike, and it was testing the waters, I guess, in Canada of do these things make money? Can we make them here and be successful? So as that has been proven that they can be sold onto the apps, they can be successful, they can make a lot of money. We have got paid more as actors, but also the crew across the board have been looked after a lot better and well, and overtime has been paid and looked after and communicated well. So just the organizations themselves, like the production qualities, have gone up. So that's on sort of the back end, like the production end of things that have changed. And then, yeah, I guess the storylines, like, yes, we still get a lot of drug stuff, abuse stuff, billionaire, CEO, long lost heiress stuff. Like that's still all there. But the industry has changed that we have got verticals that are a bit out of the ordinary. You know, we just made a pirate. But you know, the werewolfy stuff or the memory loss stuff, like the, from my point of view, the president one was new and exciting for me. You know, obviously the president maybe makes some money or whatever, but it wasn't really about how rich he was. It was that he was in a position of power, president, rather than he's a billionaire CEO, which I've played a bunch of, And then more recently, in terms of riding the wave of those changes, taking back something that you said earlier, which is like someone who's more blue collar, I had a lot of fun. It took a lot of energy and it was very taxing, but I had a lot of fun shooting over the other side of Canada on PEI, Prince Edward Island. And I shot with Candace Mizgar, who's an amazing actor in LA. And we did one, and Stephen Cameron actually came across. He actually got flown over from Vancouver, which was cool too. And we shot one over there, Thanksgiving with Mum and Dad. And that one did really well.
Which platform? Which platform?
Oh, goodness. I don't want to get it wrong. I'd have to look it up. I think it was Drama Wave because they do move around a lot, I think it was Drumwave. But it was around, a child wanting to spend Thanksgiving with mum and dad, hence Thanksgiving with mum and dad. And my character did not have a lot of money. It was sort of a mafia theme where Stephen played the mafia father of the lead actress, played by Candace. Mm-hmm. And I was a blue-collar worker with no money, trying to take care of my daughter. And I had fallen in love with this woman, and her mafia father said, no, you're not good enough for her. But she was in love with me. So the whole story was almost like a Romeo Juliet kind of vibe, which was they want to be together, but they can't. They're not allowed to be because the mafia boss father has said he's not good enough for you. And the whole story is her saying, he is good enough. I love him. He's my husband. And so he tells her that I'm dead. And then when she realizes that I'm not, she fights for me and we fight to be a family. And it's just all the drama comes from fighting for love. And
yeah, that's what I said earlier. That's exactly that what I prefer to see, that both were fighting for something together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, by the way, it is on Drama Wave. Yeah. I just checked it.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I haven't seen it. I saw lately.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the market for something to watch, go and check it out and tell me what you think.
I can watch it because I just recently got a special offer for a Drama Wave membership on Christmas. So I actually have a membership to watch it.
Wow. There you go. All right. Your next vote, you've got it lined up. But yeah, I'd love to hear what you think, because it was very hard to shoot, I'm not going to lie, in terms of the script. So hopefully people enjoy it, because it was a tricky way. It was a lot of cold days. It was rainy on certain elements of them. It was getting shot a lot. It was getting choked. People said it was more easy for me because I did have a lot of scenes while I was unconscious. A little comical with my daughter around in a wheelchair while I'm unconscious a lot. But it did come with the taxing days of, getting choked and shot and falling out of my wheelchair and falling off a gurney in the hospital and fighting for my daughter and fighting for my wife. And but I think we did an amazing job. And I
will check that tomorrow. Pretty proud of that. Tomorrow for breakfast, I will check that.
Yeah, that was really cool. Joliana, shout out to Joliana. She's a very young, talented actress that I've worked with a bunch of times now.
Okay.
So you might recognize her. That was her first time as a vertical actress, as the number one on the call sheet. And she's very excited. And she did an incredible, incredible job on that vertical. A lot of lines to learn, a lot of high drama scenes. And she was amazing. And Candace and I were the number two and three, the mum and dad. And it was, it's a really cool team on that one. So very proud of that one.
I'll check that. I will check that. But I'm giving everyone an open and honest opinion. And I'm not afraid to say, listen, this and that.
I'm willing to hear what's wrong with it. You can tell us what you think. Be honest.
I will send you an email then, because if I got asked to review stuff, I never publish reviews. I prefer to give my opinion and answer more detailed and per email. So
That'd be cool.
Yeah, because sometimes mostly of the reviews which were published on social media are mostly only if the verticals were, if you have a rating system between 1 and 5, for example, mostly of the reviews are only reviewing or publishing it if the vertical is minimum 3.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I'm not trying to watch every vertical until the end. If anything is there in it who is for me hard to watch for 3 or 2 episodes, I turn off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's sometimes maybe not so nicely. And maybe some people say, give it a try till the end. But if anyone triggers me, or as I saw, said lately, I saw a vertical that was so badly in sound. It was so exhausting watching 10 episodes. Sorry, but I cannot watch till the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's, I guess, part of the format. It's why there's a lot of focus on the first 10 or so episodes, is because they want to show you the production quality, how good the story is going to be. They want to rope you in, and hopefully you invest enough that you go, yeah, I want to see the rest of this. And you pay through the polls, and you see it through to the end. So the start of the stories in the verticals, yeah, very important, right?
I have one last question before I want to do a 5-question quickie with you.
Mm-hmm.
What would be a role you would love to play, because maybe very exciting one, or maybe very challenging one?
Good question. I keep coming back to wanting to play a vampire.
There were lately less vampires produced, I have the feeling.
I know. And it doesn't make me sad. I'm just curious about it, because I have done a couple of werewolf ones now. Not really the ones with the full wolf animation and eye claws and fangs or anything. But I think my look suits a vampire more than a werewolf. So I'm always curious about that one. Outside of that, I'm not sure. I don't think I have too much of a desire. I guess I've been asked, like, as an actor, what roles I want to work on, what I want to play. And I always say that the stuff I love to work on, or the stuff that I love to book as I have my acting career continues, fingers crossed, is roles where there's something different about the reality of that story. And that could be a bunch of different things. That could mean, vampires or werewolves. It could mean that magic is a thing. It mm-hmm. could time travel.
Oh, that's great.
It could mean someone can read minds or has some weird superpower. It could, like, anything, you know, it could be aliens. It could be just anything that makes it just slightly or moderately different to the world that we live in.
So how was it to be a pirate then? I mean,
pretty cool.
don't every guy is dreaming to be a pirate as a kid, isn't it? I don't know, but here when we are celebrating Carnival, you see a lot of young guys being a pirate.
Yeah.
So was it kind of a dream come true?
Yes and no. There was a lot of days on set that I loved it, every second of it. It was amazing. I was like, yeah, I'm being a pirate. I mean, I auditioned for Pirates of the Caribbean back in the day from Australia, and I got a little bit of interest apparently at the time. It eventually did go to an Aussie guy who, I think we could play brothers. His name's Brenton Thwaites. Mm-hmm. Plays Dick Grayson on DC Titans on Netflix and a bunch of other roles. He's an amazing actor from Australia and used to be on Home and Away as well, the same show that I came from.
Yeah.
He played the role of Orlando Bloom's son in the later Pirates of the Caribbean films. But I actually got to audition for that role as well, because I guess I have a similar look. Looked like I could have been Orlando Bloom's son. So obviously didn't book it, went to Brenton. He did a great job in the films. So I guess from those days back then, to go full circle to being a pirate vertical, it was just a little bit of like that time when you auditioned for Pirates of the Caribbean, like how cool would that have been? Obviously not a big, you know, Hollywood movie, but it just sort of ticked that box for me a little bit to hunt for some pirate treasure and hold a pirate sword and have a pirate sword fight and, you know, chase after the girl and be on the ship and jump in the ocean and with some amazing people in the team. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. But it did come with some challenging days on set, in freezing cold weather, And hopefully everyone appreciates the effort we went to. There's a day that we took a ferry over to Vancouver Island, drove to the other side of Vancouver Island, went on a 45-minute hike with equipment, sound equipment, camera gear, costumes, everything else, to a place called Mystic Beach. You can look it up. It's on the west coast of Vancouver Island, to shoot a few scenes for the vertical on that beach. It was freezing cold. Hopefully it looks great. Because then we had to hike 45 minutes back after the shooting, drive another 40 minutes, get on a ferry all the way back to Vancouver. And that was all in one day. So okay. Hopefully it's worth it. It's the last scene of the whole vertical. We had a drone shooting. The lovely Grace DOP had a drone in the air. So we put in a lot of effort, for very small amounts of polishing, and making it look as amazing as we can. So, loved doing it overall, but there were those days where it was like, what are we doing?
And what did I get into? Holy moly.
What did I agree to? But done, and now that it's made, pretty proud that we got brave and gave all of that energy to that project.
I'm so waiting for that one. Really, when I first saw this trailer, when was it, in August, at the end of August, beginning of September? Oh, yeah. Holy moly. I was sitting there and I was, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it'll get more pirate verticals on the back end. Maybe it'll start the pirate vertical trend. Like,
hopefully. I would love that. To be honest, I would love that. Yeah. We will see. Fingers are crossed. Really crossed. And I know a lot of people are waiting for that one.
Yeah. So those are the kind of roles I like to play. Fantasy stuff.
You're a kind of fantasy guy?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, maybe, someone told me, I want to be a really bad villain because I'm so done with this lovey-dovey CEO hero stuff. I want to be the bad one. I want to be a murderer. Okay.
Yeah. I'll play a bad guy if they want me to. It's fun. It's kind of cool. But I
was kind of disappointed of you when you played that mean husband. I said, really? Could he be so mean? Really?
I said something very egotistical to, I think, the producer at the time. They said, are you going to do this? Are you down for this character? Are you keen? I said, I have plenty of fans. Let's get me some haters.
Oh, ha! You did it intentionally? Okay, I have to rethink about my opinion of you.
No, I'm down for it. I'm fine. I hope that people realize that Nick is Nick and then his characters are his characters. So...
People hate you after Vertical, you did a great job in it.
Thank you. The one I did with Kirby actually was interesting because I got a few reviewers pick up that I played two characters very close together. That was the one, the Mafia one with Kirby, where I played the awful Mafia boss and I was very abusive and everything else, was right next door to shooting Laid Off While Pregnant with George White, where I play the sweetest, supportive, gentleman, old flame from school, couldn't dream of a better man, right next to each other. So you could pick and choose. You could have horrible mafia, awful monster.
You can have a nice Nick or a mean Nick.
Or watch both and just see which one you want or which one I do better. I don't know.
No, I was kind of... I didn't expect that you could be so mean. I was what? That's really Nick Bestaway? Okay, yeah, okay. But it was fine. Yeah. I was so disappointed of your character. I think you did a great job in this vertical. So,
thank you.
So fine. So, 5 question quickie for the end. I'm asking this everyone who joins the podcast. Mm-hmm. First one. Which is your favorite dish? What do you like to eat? What kind of food you like?
Because I have Italian in my bloodline, my background, through my mother's side, pasta.
OK. Can you make pasta on your own?
Pasta. Yeah, 100%. Lasagna has always been like my favorite. Just pasta, and just chucking things there. I eat predominantly plant-based these days, close to vegan. So I'm enjoying at the moment experimenting with what I can make. You know, like a lasagna, I can do, I even make lasagna sheets. Instead of using lasagna sheets, I could do zucchini and eggplant as the layers. Sometimes I like the pasta though. And then finding meat alternatives, whether that's a seitan or something like that, or like lentil, like a lentil-based kind of bolognese.
Yeah, that's really great. You have to make also a lentil bolognese.
Yeah, but any pasta, super down for that. And then pizza as well, I do.
Okay, so I see you have to go shooting in Italy.
Yeah, let's do that.
So badly. Do you have any comfort movie, a movie you loved to, or you love to rewatch, or
I have,
you never get bored of?
I think they're the ones that spring to mind. My favorite movie ever is Patch Adams.
Oh, yes.
That's Robin Williams. Based on a true story, you know, doctor, what's wrong with caring about my patients? Always gets me. I love it. The soundtrack.
Robin Williams was such a great actor. Oh.
Old 90s films. And then Good Will Hunting is also another one that I.
Also with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon played so well in it too.
Love him.
I don't know how often I saw Good Will Hunting. Because I love the way Matt Damon played this kind of character and his thoughts in this acting. I love that.
And them together and writing it, amazing.
Yeah.
Making it was great.
Yeah. And as you said, Robin Williams, he was so great.
Oh, man. His monologue in that. But yeah, just inspirational. Two actors saying, we're not going to get handed a role. Let's write a script, make a movie.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. And what music type are you? What kind of music you love to listen?
I love all kinds of music because I was raised a musician. Well, not all. Very eclectic. A lot of different kinds of music. My favorite genre, I think, of music would be like kind of rock / metal. But I need singing. I need melody. When it gets too screaming, I do listen to some stuff where there's like screaming involved in the heaviness of the music. But I think my favorite genre is when there's a heavy instruments, heavy drumming, heavy guitar riffs with distortion, but there's cool lyrics and there's like a melody to the singing. So there's an Australian band that's always been one of my favorites called Carnival. And they're kind of like, Tool, kind of like, you know, that heavy genre. But then I also love the, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters.
Oh, Foo Fighters are great, yeah. You
know, kind of vibe, sort of Green Day, Blink 182. Like, that's all my, like, old 90s, like, rock music.
Yeah, that's the music I grew up with.
Yeah, that's all of that. But very eclectic. You know, I listen to Rammstein on the same day that I listen to musical theater. So.
Yeah, Rammstein is German, you know.
I saw them live in Western Australia.
Oh, that's nice. There is another great German band. I think you would love them. They are called Eskimo Callboy.
Okay.
They are really rocky, really kind of, no, not metal style, but really, I will send you. Or you have to look them up. So great music. Eskimo Callboy. If you have a shitty day and you want to scream, you can scream with this music. And if you want to sing along, and they have some parts in their songs with some really nice vibes where you have to dance, puts you directly in a good mood.
Really, and then music. Most recently, there's, I don't know what genre he is. You'll have to look him up and tell me. I'm not good with labeling the genre of music, but there's a guy I discovered on Spotify called Jake Daniels, and I love his music. I think he's European. I hope I'm not wrong about that. But his vibe of music, it's really cool. It's kind of kind of electronic in a way, but it's this like, I don't know, some of his tracks are a bit sexy as well. It's like something out of 50 Shades or something. Like, it is Suit Verticals in a way. Them Verticals. But yeah, he writes some pretty sexy songs, and but also just kind of cool, like dark house, or I don't know what you call the genre, but yeah, he's pretty cool too.
I will show you the Eskimo Cowboy when we stop recording. I will show you that. Last two questions. First one, if I would come to you and say, Nick, I'm new in this vertical space, which one of yours should I definitely watch?
Double Life of Mr. President. 100%, I think, because it's just fun. It has all of the elements that it certainly put me on the map, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little different to the other styles of verticals. I'm quite proud of it. The action sequences are awesome as well. And just the story is fun. It's got like light moments of comedy. It has scary moments of, you know, drama with the villain roles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun to shoot. And it was early in my career. It was really kind of cool. Another really special one for me is Love Me Like You Do. Because the lead actress in that is my girlfriend.
Where was it published?
It's on 5 different platforms at the moment. So I would need to look up exactly which ones, because it's bounced around a little bit. And they actually relabeled the title on one of them. And because it's a step sibling vibe one, which I was a bit hesitant about looking into it,
mm-hmm.
but we turned it into a very kind of Romeo Juliet story, which is like, we are step siblings. We can't do this. We shouldn't be together, but we can't help how we feel about each other. And so, yeah, it's a really cool one. The scene that at the very end, when I chase her through a hallway down a corridor and I pull her up, the music is beautiful. The director let me adjust my dialogue a little bit, and I'm really proud. It's probably my favorite scene in any vertical I've ever done, is the monologue that I get to, well, the scene that I do with Natasha Rimer at the very end. And yeah, it's just like, it gives me goosebumps when I watch it. It's really fun. Love Me Like You Do is what it's called on most of the platforms.
Yeah, I just look it up at IMDb. Oh, actually on Dreamy Short.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not
so
sure.
Two. And then yeah, I don't know. I love all the verticals I've worked on, really.
That's good.
I don't have any that I'm like, oh, I wish that never happened or whatever. So yeah, I'm just really enjoying the ride at the moment.
That's perfect. So hopefully the ride continues a bit. Last question. We spoke a bit earlier about it. What genre you want to see more on you in this vertical space?
More of me in, or more in general in the vertical world? Either.
Yeah.
I would love to do more in any genre that matches what you said, where it's more blue collar.
Mm-hmm.
Or not necessarily even blue collar. Less about the money and more about the people and the story. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
The people meet each other, the leads or whatever, they bump into each other, and the story commences from a place of another form of necessity. It's not, you know, due to like, I'm going to pay for everything because your parent is sick and in hospital and you need the money right now, so I'll give you all the money. And then the story continues. It's some other scenario brings them together. There's some other need for them to be together or have to be in each other's lives. And then, yeah, just any other genre that touches on that. You know, that's why I don't mind like the werewolf and the fantasy element, because maybe it's about the safety of the werewolf pack or the vampire coven or the, you know, the if it's about like magic or something, maybe it's about their hidden society that they need to protect from the world. And one finds out about that hidden society. So it's like, well, now I need to protect you because otherwise, you know, they'll kill you for knowing about this. You know, it's not about money. It's about, it's some other story element has driven these characters' paths to cross.
Yeah.
That's the stories that I like working on, I think, at the moment. I'll still play the billionaire roles. I'll still play the rich status, this status, that. But that's what I want to see more of. The pirate vertical, you know, it's these two kids that they cross paths. There's the flashback sequences that dads cross paths. There's a treasure map. There's this, there's that. And then that's the journey they're on, you know? So that'll be what people react to in that story.
I can tell you right now, I'm sure when this vertical dropped, it would be our top theme in one of our reviews. I can tell you that right now, because I know we are all craving so badly for this vertical.
I'm very proud of it.
So we will see when it drops and how the story goes on when it drops. Hopefully good and great one. So, Nick, I thank you so much for your time and for talking to me about this vertical stuff. It's always a pleasure seeing you in verticals when you're not so mean, okay? But, yeah. So, I wish you all the best for 2026 and a lot of great vertical roles, which, let's say, fulfill you in a special way.
Thank you. I hope you have 2026 as well. And thanks for chatting about verticals with me. It's always fun. And I learned a lot from you. So
I hope so. No, I always try to give a different view, you know, from the audience side.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of perspectives made in combination a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want to evolve in this space, and you're helping facilitate that by giving us a tap into what shows are good and what the audience is enjoying. So I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So thanks, Nick. Have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.